Welcome to the Bridge DFW podcast. The Bridge is a community of young adults and a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. You can find out more at thebridgedfw.com.
Well, in case you were not here last time, we kicked off our new series called Remote Controlled, and we're going to be continuing in that series where we're talking about the ways that the enemy, Satan, the devil, he is a real person, he is a real entity, he is the embodiment of evil. We're talking about the way that he uses different things in our lives, like a remote control, that he uses to control us and to mute us at times whenever we need to have our voices. And there's other times where he pushes pause on the things that God is wanting to do in our life and the things that God is working out in our life and the growth that God is wanting to see. And other times he even hits rewind and begins to use hate and divisiveness to take us back into decades past and into old years past in our country to have unity begin to break apart and racism to kick back up and all these different things that the enemy does. Other times, he uses different things to just completely power us down and turn the power off that the Holy Spirit is wanting to use in us and through us so that we can be lights and so that we can be examples and so that we can be an impact on our world for Jesus. Amen? And so tonight we're going to continue in that same vein, and we're going to be talking about the way that he uses influences, outside influences. On the video you saw some of them, it was maybe media, maybe TV, maybe it's magazines, or maybe it's the movies, maybe it's music. Another couple things that we'll be looking through is about the different friends that you have. And that's why it's so important, and I mean this is kind of a shameless plug, but I mean this with everything inside of me, that if you're new here, and even if you're not new here, maybe you've been going to the Bridge since its inception, I encourage you, get into a small group. Get into one of our Bridge small groups. If you have never attended, we have several different small groups that meet throughout the week. You can find out all the information that you need to find at the back of the room after service at the Connect Station. And there are groups for every single type of person. Anything that you want to do, we have a group for you, because this is what I believe. It's great to come to church. It's great to come to young adults ministry and to mix it up and be in a large setting like this, hearing the word of God and having music and worship. All that is great. You need to do that, right? Paul said, forsake not the assembling together. But I believe that there's also something amazing that happens whenever you come into a smaller group of people in somebody's home or in a small group setting where you can be real with each other. You can get to know each other on a different level than you can in a group this size. You get to talk about real stuff, real life, what's going on in your heart, what's going on in your world, what's going on in your job. Because I believe this, true life change and true growth happens better in circles than it does in rows. I believe that's why small groups are so important, because positive life change happens better in circles than it does in rows. So tonight we're going to be talking about toxic influences, and tonight is going to be challenging. I'm going to be honest with you. If you came to church tonight hoping for just a feel-good, happy, clappy type of a service, this is not one of those. At least from the outset, it may not seem like one of those. But really, the truth of God's word, whenever you take any part of God's word and apply it to your life in a new way that you never have in the past, you should get happy about it. Because whenever we apply God's word to our life, we can always be guaranteed that our life will look better, it will look different, and it will always take us into a new place that God wants to take us. Amen? So would you pray with me tonight? Father, we do remember Las Vegas again, Father. And God, we thank you, Lord, that you said that you are near to the brokenhearted, God. And so, Father, right now, God, we just send all of our love. God, we thank you that there are people, God, in Las Vegas, God, Christians, believers, God, that are coming around those families, God, wrapping their arms of love and compassion, God, the arms of Jesus, God, around those affected. Father God, we just pray against any spirit of copycat, God, that would attempt to replicate or repeat this in any other place around this country, around the world, Father. We say those plans are uprooted and thwarted in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, God, you promised, God, that all things hidden would be revealed. So, Father, bring justice to all involved in this, Father. God, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be with us tonight, God. God, we recognize that you're here, Father, but we ask again, God, because we can never get familiar, God, with your presence, because it's so good. It's so amazing. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that tonight, God, that you would use every single one of my words, God, to illuminate your word, God, and open our eyes to see you, Father, like we never have before. And Father, we thank you for the grace, God, that you have on us and the grace that you had on the St. Louis Rams last Sunday. But God, we're expecting that the eternal reign of the Dallas Cowboys would start this coming Sunday in the National Football League. And everybody that believes that, would just say it, amen and amen. Hey, 2-2 is not bad, right? It's the same as 0-0, right? We're basically where we started at the beginning of the year. Amen? Well, I want you to touch the person on your left and tell them, I'm taking notes tonight, so don't bother me. Now, touch the person on the right side and say, I'm taking notes tonight, so don't mess with me, unless you need a sheet of paper and a pen. I like how some of you were like, so don't talk to me, already not being able to follow directions. Andrea is laughing because it was her. Hey, I love the honesty, right? She's not putting a filter up. She's being authentic. She listened last week. Who likes movies? Some of you guys are either like, I'm too lazy to raise my hand, or maybe you just don't like movies, or maybe you're just broke and you can't go to the movies, which some of you were ladies that didn't raise your hand. So ladies, I'm just saying, maybe pray for a date. For a guy to take you to the movies, amen? And for those of you that are guys, let me just say this. Movies are not the best place to go on a date, okay? You can't talk to the girl. You can't get to know her. You can't get to find out what she's about. So guys, don't do that. Not a first date for sure. Take them to coffee. Take them for a walk, right? Get to know them. Be able to converse with them, okay? You're never going to be able to connect whenever you're shoulder to shoulder with somebody in a movie watching the screen. Because then you'll end up being one of those people that I like throw my popcorn at whenever they're like talking and giggling during the movie. I'm like, hey, like, shut up. I'm trying to listen. Like, this is not the place to trying to spit game like during a movie. I paid 10 bucks. But anyways, Pastor Darren and I love movies. It's one of our favorite things to do, just kick back on the couch in our TV room, put our feet up, and just watch a good movie. And matter of fact, we finally, last night, some of you are like, finally, that movie was terrible. We finally watched the new Transformers last night, which a couple people are like, I'm so sorry. And it was Redbox, okay? So it was only a buck. So it was a buck that I wish I wouldn't have spent. But we love movies, right? Anybody remember the Titans? Man, such a good movie. Such a good movie. How about Toy Story 3? Anybody remember that? Man, I remember that movie. There must have been something in the air, but there was like something in my eye at the end of it. It was really weird, and it was like making my eye water, and it wouldn't stop, and it's really weird. But anyways, how about Inception? Anybody remember watching Inception, right? Which I'm still not quite sure right now if I'm awake. I'm like, where's my little top? Let me spin it real quick or whatever. But maybe some of you guys like comedies. Who likes comedies? I think comedies are one of my favorite, and maybe some of you saw one of the movies that was nominated for the 2014 Best Comedy of the Year. Has anybody heard of it? The Wolf of Wall Street? Anybody see that? A few people, maybe. Maybe some of you watching online saw that. Some of you are like, oh, I saw it, but I better not raise my hand, right? Those of you that are laughing, they're like, yeah, I know where he's going with this. In case you didn't know, check this out. Just listen to these stats. The Wolf of Wall Street set the record for the most cursing in any movie. In any movie. Just listen to this. This is mind-boggling. 569 F-words. That equals 3 per minute. I don't even know that I can say 3 words in general per minute, much less 3 F-words. There was also 79 S-words, 22 slang terms for male private parts, 9 for female. I didn't even know there was that many different slang terms. 8 B words, 22 A crooked letter words, and 38 different versions of God's name in vain. How many of you know the Bible says that in the end times people will invent new ways to sin, right? And people are inventing new ways to take the Lord's name in vain. But in case you didn't see it, you're probably going, thank God I didn't see it, right? Maybe some of you were like looking on Netflix and you're like, maybe I should watch it. You know, after all, Leo's awesome. You know, he's a great actor, whatever. But some of you are like, thank God I didn't see it. And maybe some of you that watched that movie or maybe watched a movie like it, maybe you were like, man, I didn't realize there was that many, right? Maybe you're like, man, I didn't notice that there was that many cursing. Like, I knew it had some cursing, but maybe I didn't notice. And look, I'm not up here to condemn you. And let me say that from the get-go, because we're going to be talking about some challenging stuff tonight. Nothing that I'm saying from this pulpit, from this microphone, is condemning to you. I want you to know that. I say all of it with the most love that I possibly can as your pastor, as somebody who wants the best for your life, as somebody who wants God to be able to move in your life. God loves you, and I love you. Everybody good with that? Everybody believe that, right? Because by the way, although I did not see The Wolf of Wall Street, in my younger years, I did see movies like it, okay, that had a lot of cursing and those kind of things. And, you know, like I said, Pastor Dan and I like movies. And oftentimes when we go to visit family or maybe whenever we go on vacation, you know, we'll spend part of the vacation just completely unplugging, completely relaxing, and just watching movies. And I remember recently we were watching a movie, or maybe it was a TV show, with some of our family. And I remember starting the movie and going, man, this is so funny. You're going to love it. It's awesome. It's hilarious. Like, man, it's going to be great, right? And you always, like, want your friends or family or whoever you're showing the movie to like it like you, right? Like, you always want them to be as much in it as you are. So I was totally expecting that. And, you know, we push play and the movie starts. And, man, just within a few minutes, I was like, oh, gosh. Started getting that, you know, like, uneasy feeling in your heart. And I was like, man, I do not remember that part. Like, surely that was just the beginning, right? Like surely it's no more after that. Like, maybe I came late to the movie and so I didn't see that, right? And I started, like, making up these excuses. But I think what happens is we begin to forget and we begin to get desensitized, right, to these different things in movies, the different influences that we're watching, that we're listening to, that is coming into our brains, right? I remember being younger and watching WWF. Any WWF fans? Right? WWE? Okay, when I was growing up, it was WWF, right? The World Wrestling Federation, okay? Now it's, I don't even know what it is now, but I remember one time watching as Sid Vicious, big, huge Sid Vicious, 6'6", 270 pounds, a ginormous man's man, right? And he jumped from the top rope, and what I remember watching is he used to wear these tall black leather boots, and I remember him standing on the top rope, right, and the guy's like rolling around, and he's pumping up the crowd, and Sid Vicious jumps down from the top rope, boom, right, he's gonna do a stomp on the guy, but whenever Sid Vicious lands on his leg, he gets a compound fracture in his tibia, fibia, I don't know what it is, this bone. I love how you're all laughing at me, like making fun of me because I'm not a doctor, okay? I'm a pastor. I'm not a doctor. I don't know what the bones are. But anyways, he breaks his leg, like disgusting. Like you see his bone go out of his boot. And I remember being a young kid and going, oh my gosh. And I remember turning my head and looking away, right? But now, recently, I remember showing somebody the video, Googling it, YouTubing, oh man, look how nasty this is, right? And some of you are kind of like that, where you're like, ooh, it's like a car crash. Like, I want to watch, and I don't want to look, but I have to look, right? Why? So what happened to Pastor Donnie between whenever I saw that as a kid versus as a 32-year-old man? What happened? Is it possible that from seeing those kind of things time and time again throughout life and movies and TV shows and all these different things, is it possible that I had been desensitized to it? So it didn't seem as bad anymore. It didn't seem as nasty anymore. It didn't seem as horrific anymore. It's kind of the same thing with the movies, remember? Like, oh man, I don't remember it being that bad, right? I don't remember it having that many curse words. I don't remember it having that amount of skin shown, right? But think about it like this. Think about if one of my sermons were to have 569 F words in it. What would you think? You would probably quickly say, that's not a good pastor. That dude probably does not even love Jesus. Like, he's getting up there in the pulpit and he said 569 F words, right? You'd probably say the same thing even if I just said one F word, right? So then I just want to ask, if it's not okay for you to hear that in church, why would it be okay for you to pay your money to go to a movie where it's loaded with that? Why would it be okay for you to watch the stuff that some of us watch on our computers or on Netflix or listen to on the radio? Why would that be okay? Many of the songs on the current Billboard Top 40, if I were to read some of the lyrics to you, you would be embarrassed. You would feel weird, right? because they're littered with all of these different toxic topics. Some of the ones that I looked up: one night stands, drug, alcohol abuse, not caring about consequences of actions, only thinking about right now, promiscuity with either or both genders, right? And so, like I said, these are toxic influences. So before we go any further, I want to define what toxic means. So if you're taking notes, this is one of those things that you'd want to write down. Toxic means anything containing poisonous material capable of causing serious sickness or even death. That's how Webster's defines toxic. Anything containing poisonous material capable of causing serious sickness or even death. So those of you that know, those of you have been around church, or maybe those of you that haven't even been to church, a lot of you know there's two operating, opposing forces in the world, right? Good and evil, right? God and the devil, right? Those things that are holy and righteous and those things that are corrupt or toxic for what we're talking about tonight. And everything that is good and pure and holy comes from God, right? The Bible says that. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father, in whom there's no shadow or turning of shifting. Right? So only good things can come from God. Some of you might have even heard Christians or believers talk about, well, God's passing judgment on America. That's what Hurricane Harvey was all about. That's what Hurricane, you know, whoever was about. That's what Las Vegas was about. God is judging America. Friends, the verse that I just quoted, every good and perfect gift comes down from God and he does not change. I don't think a single person in this room would say that having a loved one get murdered in the fashion that they did in Las Vegas, I would assume none of you would say that's a gift. I would assume none of you would say that that is a good thing, right? You could maybe try and spin it and psychologically like make it into like, well, maybe now the world is gonna whatever, but for that person, that was not a good thing, right? And God says that he wills that none should perish, right? So for those of you that maybe think, well, God's about the greater good. No, God is about the greater good for you. He perfects the things that concerns you, not just the world at large. Amen? So the enemy's job description is to steal, kill, and destroy. Everybody with me on that? So say this with me. Say, God good, devil bad. Okay? So if anything falls in good or the bad territory, we know where to classify them, okay? All right, we're going somewhere. We got to build a foundation before we can get into the practical stuff. You see, it would be easy if these influences that come at us, right? Music, movie, TV, friends, social media, all these different things. It would be easy to stay away from them and not allow them to influence us if we immediately saw them as either, you know, like the devil is, you know, working in me through this song because he comes up to you with a pitchfork, right? And a pointed tail and horns. But how many of you have ever seen the devil with a pitchfork and a pointed tail and horns, right? That's not how he does things. That would be way too easy for us to recognize him if that's how he came up to us, right? He does it much more slyly, right? Much more cunningly, much more deceptively. You know, for those of you that maybe know about the different issues going on in the world, and it's a relatively new focus, although it's been going on for ever, is sex slavery, right? Prostitution, these kind of things. But as you study that, you also find out about child molestation. Some of you are like, how does this have to do with anything? Just watch. Because you see, child molesters don't just go up to a kid and immediately try the act, immediately go in for the kill. They start off very slyly. And they start off just, you know, giving the kid a hug and patting him on the shoulder. And then it becomes a front hug, right? And then it becomes, you know, they tickle them. And then it goes a little further and a little further. And each time they're desensitizing that child. The correct verbiage is grooming the child. Little by little, desensitizing and desensitizing until finally the corruption, right? The toxic act is done. How many of you know the devil does the same thing to us, right? Well, I'll just watch this and, you know, it just has a little bit of skin shown and, you know, it's not too bad. You know, it's got some cursing and some, you know, it's rated R, so it has, you know, this and that and a lot of drugs. You know, this song it's okay because it's just this. You know, I just won't sing that one part of the song, right? Anybody else ever done that? I have, right? I'm singing along and then it gets to a part that I don't agree with and I'm like, oh, yeah, and I start singing again, right? And so that's kind of what happens. And then all of a sudden, we watch The Wolf of Wall Street, and we're like, wow, there was that much cursing? I didn't even realize it. We're being groomed through all these different ways that the enemy wants to get in and control us. If somebody were to come up to you, Isabel, and say, hey, drink this poison, how many of you think Isabel would drink it? None, right? What about if I brought a big bag of like broken up glass and said, hey, Isabel, why don't you chew on this? It's good for you, right? All of us would say, no, get that out of my face, you wacko, you crazy guy. Get out of here before I punch you, right? None of us would do that. Yet in the same way, we willingly pay money to watch and listen to these different toxic influences that are just as toxic, just as bad, just as destructive as chewing on glass or taking poison, right? Or pulling the trigger of a gun next to our head. It's doing the same thing in our souls. I love what Proverbs 25, 26 says. Proverbs 25 and 26. Again, this would be one of those things to write down. It says, like a muddied spring or a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way to the wicked. Raise your hand if you are a righteous man or woman in this place. For those of you that have received Jesus, you have been made righteous. So that's you. You are righteous. Righteousness has nothing to do with what you do and everything to do with what Jesus did. But you have to understand that the writer of Proverbs here is saying there may be a spring of water, but it can be muddied. It can be polluted. It can be water. It can still have all of the chemical makeup of water, but it's been polluted. It's not as fresh. It's not as, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not as clean. It's not as pure. It's not as beneficial because it's been muddied up. And the same thing happens to us whenever we give way to these wicked, toxic influences. Some of you might say, yeah, but Pastor Don, you know, it's possible for me to be saved and to listen to this kind of music or watch these kind of movies or go to these kind of websites. And you know what? You're right. You absolutely can stay saved, right? If staying saved meant that you couldn't sin, we would all be already out of the boat, right? Without a paddle. All of us would already have been messed up because the Bible says we all fall short of the glory of God. We all miss it. We all sin. And some of you might be here today or maybe you watching online, you're going, man, this guy's bogus. This guy's talking about like stuff that I watch and, you know, like watching certain things or seeing certain kind of movies or having certain kind of friends, going to certain websites, you know, interacting in certain ways on social media. That's not harmful. That's just stupid. Right? And I would assume that if you're here tonight or listening and you think that way, it's probably because you're not a follower of Jesus. And that's okay. That's okay. We're not here to condemn you. We're not here to look down our noses at you. All of us have to start somewhere. Right? And I would just say to those of you that are in that category, they're like, man, this isn't a big deal. If you're not a believer, or maybe you are a believer and you're just like, I just don't think I agree with that. I think I can watch whatever doesn't bother me. Just keep an open mind. Just keep an open mind for the rest of the night as we go through some points. So number one in your notes, a little bit of poison goes a long way. A little bit of poison goes a long way. 1 Corinthians 5, 6 says it like this. Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast that you may have a new batch without yeast as you really are. A lot of people hear yeast and they're like, what does that even mean? You have to understand in the Bible, anytime you see yeast, it is almost always dealing with sin. It is almost always correlated to a specific sin, sin in general, something that trips you up, something sinful, something evil, something that's not God's best. So what Paul is saying here is he's saying even just a little bit, even giving way to a little bit of poison, a little bit of a toxic influence, having a little bit of sin in a certain area of your life, looking at just a little bit of porn every now and then, right? Smoking just a little bit of weed. Doing just a little bit of going too far with your girlfriend or boyfriend. It actually corrupts the whole batch. It will actually begin to work its way into every area of your life. Has anybody ever seen like the Titanic, the movie or other movies where like ships begin to sink? And you know what they start to do? Well, close off the doors, right? there's like these compartments, right? These watertight compartments that they begin to close off whenever certain areas begin to fill up with water. Why? Because once they close it, it's sealed off and that water cannot go into the other compartments. Folks, that is not how our life is. That is not how our soul is. That is not how our mind works. That's not how our spirit works. Everything works together. You cannot separate a sin in this area and not expect it to affect you in another area or begin to grow or begin to rise in that area. Amen? I want to tell you a story about a kid to illustrate this. You know, there was this kid, and he asked his mom, he said, "Hey, Mom, I want to go to the movies." And like any good mom, she said, "Well, hey, what's the movie about?" And so she began to ask him, "Hey, what's in the movie? What's it rated?" All these different things. And he says, "Well, you know, it's got a little bit of cursing and, you know, but not, it's not really bad, Mom. It's not much. You know, it's got a little bit of sexually suggestive stuff, but, you know, it's not much, Mom. It's okay. It's just a little bit. You know, it's not going to affect me, Mom. It's okay." And so she says, "Okay, cool. Since it's not that much, go ahead. But hey, you know, before you go this afternoon, I'm going to cook you some brownies. You know, because I love you. You're my son. And so before you leave, we'll have some milk and brownies." How many of you know that's a good mom, right? And how many of you know that's a good wife too? Amen? Wives, men love brownies. It's the way to our hearts, especially with milk. Whole milk. Don't try that 2% stuff or skim stuff. Whole milk. If I'm going to eat a brownie, it can be a gluten-free brownie, okay? Just give me some whole milk. I want all the fat, amen? So the mom makes the brownies and she begins working everything together and, you know, she goes out and, you know, gets a special ingredient that she puts in there and, you know, this special ingredient, she puts just a little bit in there because she doesn't want to overwhelm it. She just wants just a little bit of this special ingredient. And so she cooks the brownies and little Johnny comes in. I don't know why Johnny is always the name that most preachers use, you know, little Johnny. Sorry if her name's Johnny, which my name's Donnie. It's close enough to that, but. So little Johnny comes in. "Oh, Mom, I'm so excited for these brownies. They smell good. I think they smell good. They're a little funky, but hey, I got some milk. I'm ready to eat these brownies, Mom." And she goes, "Hey, go ahead, Johnny. Before I take you to the movie, you can just eat all the brownies you want. But hey, I just wanted to let you know, since you said that the movie had a little bit of bad stuff, but it wasn't that bad, you know, as I was making your brownies, I went out into the backyard and scooped up a little bit of what Fido left, and I put just a little bit into the brownie mix. But hey, since it's just a little bit, it's not gonna hurt you, right? Since it's just a little bit, you can still eat it, and it's not gonna be a big deal, right?" By the way, Fido was the name of a dog. And the thing that Mom scooped up was Fido's poop. Dookie. Think about that for a moment, though. None of us would ever eat poop, no matter how small of an amount it was. And it's funny, but it proves such a deeper point. Why do we think that a little bit of this, a little bit of that, that we know that it's not right for us to be ingesting. We know it's not right for us to be seeing. We know it's not right for us to be listening to, but we rationalize it in our heads and say, it's just a little bit. It's not going to affect us. It's just, you know, I can get over it. You know, I'm strong enough. I can press through. It's not a big deal. But I don't know anybody in this room or anybody watching online that would eat a poop brownie. So if you remember anything else, which some of you, this probably is the time in the message that you just checked out because I said poop in church. Just remember that. You know, to me, it's kind of the same thing with The Bachelorette. Anybody watch The Bachelorette? And hey, it's fun. I love how the amount of hands are like going down now. They're like, "Oh, shoot. I better not admit to that. I'm sure there's something I've been missing that isn't good about that." And look, ultimately, you have to walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling, okay? I'm being a little bit generalizing, but I want you to understand what I'm saying. The Bachelorette, right? Oh, it's good. It's fun, right? It's, you know, one woman, all these guys fighting for her affections. And, you know, it's not a big deal, right? Pastor Donnie, you know, they don't really show too much, although in recent years, I think they have been showing more. So it's, you know, but I'll just turn my head away. But what does it do, right? It begins to teach us and influence us that true love happens in a helicopter flying over a waterfall with a rainbow, right? And that's how true love happens, right? And it happens whenever everybody's dressed perfectly, Right? Because on the show, everybody is given a wardrobe and they get to pick out what they want to wear. And that's how true love happens. And so what happens? Sometimes then we begin to miss what love truly is. And love is not fiery hot passion that you find as you're flying over the rooftops of downtown New York and, you know, looking at a beautiful rainbow or a beautiful sunset. It can be all those things, absolutely. But love is patient. Love is kind. Love is steadfast. It's long-suffering. It puts others first. It doesn't keep a record of wrong. That is what love is. And you see, these toxic influences, all they have to do is just a little bit adjust us. Right? We begin to define love as not directly on what God says is love, but we just need a little bit of turn. But a little bit of turn, and we keep going and we keep going. And after days and weeks and months and years of thinking like this, we begin to get really far off now. And so now, you know, we can't find a date because it has to be just a perfect guy with just the perfect body, and he drives just the right kind of car, and he has to sweep me off my feet like, you know, I saw on The Bachelorette, and all these kind of things. And it goes both ways. This is not just going at girls. The Bachelor, same thing, guys. But it is possible. It is possible that maybe we've been tainted. Maybe these influences have become toxic in our lives and they've caused sickness or maybe even death. Or maybe they've held us back from experiencing God's best, right? Guys, porn is the same exact way. Looking at sexually explicit or suggestive movies or magazines or things on your social media, right? Oh, well, Pastor Donnie, it's just a bathing suit. Well, maybe, but what are you thinking in your head? Are you wishing that bathing suit was off? Are you wishing that the bathing suit was smaller? Come on, it's quiet in here. But every single one of us have dealt with this. And if you haven't, your time is coming. We live in a fallen world. And men, women, God created sex. He created our bodies, and they are beautiful. But you don't get to enjoy it until you're married. But as we see more and more of this, porn begins to cause men and women to begin to objectify the other sex. And so now sometimes we begin to look at the opposite sex, and we begin to put value on them based on how beautiful they are, how sexy they are, or whatever the case may be, because what we've been looking at and watching and mentally thinking about, it has to do with perfect bodies and perfect all these different kind of things. And so if that girl, if that guy doesn't fit in that same mold that I was watching or looking at, now all of a sudden they don't have as much value. Now, all of a sudden, I can't connect with them. Now, all of a sudden, I'm numb to anybody who isn't airbrushed and looks like a model and, you know, doesn't have perfect teeth and perfect whatevers, right? And it begins to influence other areas of our life. We begin to see people and see the opposite sex or see everything through a skewed filter, through an incorrect filter. Amen? Everybody with me tonight? Everybody doing okay? I told you it was going to be challenging tonight. Number two in your notes, just because everyone does it doesn't make it right. I'm going to leave a pause there for impact. Just because everyone does it doesn't make it right. Romans 12:2, and I love how the Message says it. It says, do not become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking, but instead fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. How many of you know there's times in life where we got to be quick to get out of a place where we didn't realize that we were going to find ourselves, right? We got to be quick to leave that movie as soon as we realize that maybe there was a little bit more to it than we expected, right? We got to be quick to leave our girlfriend or boyfriend's house after a certain time of night whenever things start getting a little too hot and heavy. We got to be quick. What did Joseph do? He fled and left his clothes. If you are ever in a place where you are without your clothes, leave and leave them behind. I promise you, you will be much better off driving home naked without your clothes than doing what you had planned on doing in the bed with your girlfriend or boyfriend. I would much rather have to tell somebody as I'm walking into my apartment why I have no clothes on than to have to deal with the guilt and the condemnation that the enemy takes and uses like reins for that act that I did. And I'll just tell you, if you have a roommate and that ever happens, you applaud them. You love them. You speak life over them. You tell them, I am so proud of you for doing what God says to do, to flee in that moment. And that applies for anything. Because you see, what happens is, just like Paul says here, you begin to fit into it without even thinking. And he says, instead, fix your attention on God. So what does that mean? If you find yourself fitting in with the current culture and ways of living and ways of thinking and things to watch and things to do, and you just begin fitting in without even thinking, then Paul says that must mean that you're not fixing your attention on God. Because what does the Bible say? You can't serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. He goes on to say, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the very best out of you and develops a well-formed maturity in you. You know, I remember being at a certain age and going to certain parties, and I always thought it was so weird, but I began to let it influence me. And people that were doing certain things or drinking certain things, I remember them saying, come on, bro, like, grow up. Come on, man, just have a drink. Grow up, man. You're not a kid anymore. Grow up. And I began to think that, oh, well, man, I'm more grown up now because I drink this. I'm more grown up now because, you know, I'm doing this or I'm watching this or whatever the case may be. But what does Paul say? He says, don't let it drag you down to its level of immaturity. But he said, instead, God brings out the best in you and develops a well-formed maturity in you. I don't know about you, but I want God to develop me in maturity. Not in the ways that the world says you're mature as a man, right? Whenever you've slept with this many girls or ladies, you know, whenever you look like this or show off this amount of skin just to have the guys look at you, right? Whenever you post certain kind of pictures on Instagram, come on, ladies, you know what you're doing. Whenever you take the selfie like this and, you know, you're pushing your shoulders together and the camera's at just the right angle looking down, so come on. Surely nobody in here has ever done that, but maybe your friend, right? The one that you're praying for that'll come to the bridge. Maybe that's them, right? But watch this. Just because everyone else is doing it doesn't make it right. And even more so, doesn't make it beneficial. And by the way, everyone is watching. Do you know that? People are watching you. Because you have Romans 12:2 on your Twitter feed, on your handle right next to, you know, daughter of the Most High God and, you know, saved by grace and thank you, Jesus, right? Because you have that. People are watching what you post. People are watching how you live. People are watching what you do and where you go and how you talk and how you act. People are always watching. And that's a good thing. Because that means that we're in a place of potential influence. When people are watching you, when people are keeping their eyes fixed on you, some of you at your workplace, you're in places of leadership. How many of you know that is an important position for you as a believer in leadership? Why? Because people are looking to see how you lead. People are looking to see how, if the things that you say that you ascribe to in Christianity, what does that truly look like in your daily life? Because it's one thing to have Jesus plastered all over your Instagram feed with your Devo and your Bible out, but what does that look like on Saturday night whenever they're out in the community and they see you at that place or doing this or at that kind of party? You might as well just throw everything out the window because all you did was just give them yet another reason for them to look and say, Christians are fakes, man. They're not real. They're no different than us. And what happens? You've now been reduced to their level of immaturity, Paul says. And God is not able to bring out the best in you. God wants to use us as lights. Number three in your notes, and we're beginning to close. Just because I could doesn't mean I should. Just because I could doesn't mean I should. So could I speed on the way to church and go 90 miles an hour to make sure that I get here on time? Sure, I could. But should I? Do you think the police officer is going to think I should have? He's going to think, yeah, you could have, sure, but there's going to be consequences, right? Because whenever you step outside the boundaries of safety, which is the reason why we have speed limits on our roads, you begin to get over in a place to where God's protection is within going the speed limit. But whenever you begin to willfully step outside of that, now we're in a place where something dangerous could happen. I'm not trying to scare anybody. Don't hear that. And there's grace to cover that. Please don't hear me say that if you sin, God's going to judge you and bad things are going to happen. Not what I'm saying at all. But what I'm saying is, don't be pleading Psalm 91 while you're driving 91 miles an hour. Okay? Tweet that. But for real, we've all done it. Oh, Jesus, please, God, protect him, and angels, move everybody else out of the way, and Holy Spirit, please don't let that cop see me, and I just need to get... We've all done it, and it's okay, but just because you could doesn't mean you should. It does not mean it's beneficial. Can I watch movies that have 469 F-words and drug use and alcohol use and sex and all this kind of stuff? Sure, you could, but should you? Can you still go to heaven and look at pornography? Sure, you can go to heaven looking at pornography, but should you? Is that going to put you in a position to be like Jesus, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to influence and impact the world around you? To be a living, breathing portrait of Christ? Because, I can look at it and still God loves me. I guess I can look at it and, you know, nobody will really know what I'm doing when I get home or what I'm doing on my phone late at night. You know, even maybe I'm volunteering at church, you know, my leaders won't even know. You know, even my friends won't even know. But ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly the trap the enemy wants to get you in. To begin to do things that you can do, not things that you should do. I'm not trying to put legalism on you tonight. Please do not hear that. Please do not hear legalism out of what I'm saying to you. It's one thing to be legalistic. It's another thing completely to be realistic and say, what is beneficial for me? What is going to set me up for the greatest amount of success and influence in other people's lives? Because, ladies and gentlemen, the world out there needs you to look different than them. The world out there needs you to live different than them. They need you to think different than them. So that whenever they're going through something and the Holy Spirit begins pinging their heart, and they go, man, I don't know why this thing keeps happening in my life. And, you know, I realize that, you know, Jason, he never seems to really be dealing with this kind of stuff. So, man, I'm gonna go talk to him. And then Jason can say, you know what, man? Hey, I'm just like you. The enemy would love for me to want to do that stuff. And hey, man, I'm with you. It would be fun for me to do that. It would be, it would satisfy certain needs or whatever the case may be. But man, the Bible says... And so I don't. And I'm not perfect, but man, Jesus can help you. The world needs us to look different. This place, this church needs to be different than any other place where people congregate out in the world. It's one thing to say you love people. But if you truly love people and you truly care about the lost and you truly care about people going to heaven or hell, that will be what changes you, and you won't even think about, well, I'm not going to be legalistic. No, I'm Pastor Donnie, you're just being legalistic. No, I'm being realistic because heaven is a real place, and hell is too. And just because you have freedoms in Christ, what does the Bible say? Don't use that and cause other people to stumble. So it's not about could I. It's about should I. Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians 6:12. He says, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but watch this. I will not be mastered by anything. I'm going to let that sink in for a minute. Sure, you might be permitted to do certain things. But is it going to cause you to be mastered by that thing? You might think it's just a one-time thing. You might think it's just a movie. You might think it's just a TV show. You might think it's just a song that you sing, and even though I don't sing the bad parts, you might think it's just a little thing. But maybe that little thing is a poop brownie. And maybe that thing is taking more and more space in your life, in your thoughts, in the things that you focus on. Maybe it's taking a little bit more area in your heart, in your spirit, and maybe that little bit of yeast maybe has infected other areas of your life that you haven't even realized yet. So look, I'm not trying to say don't go to rated R movies, okay? Passion of the Christ is rated R, and I encourage every single one of you to see it if you have not. Even if you have, watch it again. It's rated R. So don't walk away going, Pastor Donnie said don't watch rated R movies. That's not what I'm saying at all. That would be legalistic. Because I don't know about you, but there's been some PG movies that I've been like, wow, that was a really sexually suggestive joke there. They certainly didn't like describe everything, but I know exactly what they were saying. And by the way, this PG movie over here has tons of witchcraft, and it's teaching our children that, you know, spells and witches and all this kind of stuff is real and fun, and it's light and fun, and, you know, it's just a good witch. Those would be movies that I would say they're not beneficial. Sure, they're PG, parental guidance suggested, but I can watch it. Pastor Donnie, it's not a rated R movie. Okay. Then whenever you begin to believe other things about maybe other religions, because they kind of seem like the movies that you really like to watch, and it begins to infect and influence your thinking, don't say you aren't warned. So how do I know what influences are good and which ones are bad? Maybe some of you are asking that. Maybe you're listening, you're going, man, Pastor Donnie, I agree. I don't want these toxic influences, these toxic outside things to have a barrage of, you know, all these thoughts and all this kind of stuff. And so how do I do it? Well, sometimes it's really obvious, right? If you have a friend that says, hey, you want to watch a movie? It's called The Hangover. Just by hearing the very title of the movie, you can kind of guess what's going to be in the movie, and you probably know that you shouldn't see it, right? It's obvious. Those things are easy, right? A buddy says, hey, man, you want to come to my bachelor party? It's going to be at the strip club. Ding, 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 ding. You should not go. Right? That's not a, well, I don't know. You know, the Bible says, you know, that we're supposed to be light to the world. And, you know, Jesus said he doesn't want to remove us from the world. But, you know, don't do that. Don't do that. That is not what the Bible is talking about. That's an obvious one. You should not go there. Can I listen to secular music? No, sure. I'll say certain things. You're going to have to ask the Lord, is this harmful, right? Some is, some isn't. I listen to a lot of secular music. Some I won't touch because of the things that they talk about. And guess what? It doesn't just have to be cursing or drugs or sex or anything like that. It can just be an ideology and a way of living that I just don't want to be thinking on, singing, repeating, and getting into my brain. Because it's not the way that the Bible says I should live and think and act. Amen? So how do we figure out the ones that are not so obvious? Because I think these are the ones that we get really tripped up on. And I think these are the ones that can be really dangerous. And some people say, well, just let your conscience be your guide, right? It's a good saying, sure. But what if your conscience tells you the wrong thing? What if your conscience doesn't lead you to make the right decision? 1 Corinthians 4:4 says it like this. 1 Corinthians 4:4. Yeah, write that down. Good. 1 Corinthians 4:4 says it like this. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Let that sink in for a second. My conscience may be clear, but that does not make me innocent, for it's the Lord who judges me. So, well, you know, that doesn't really, you know, like witness bad with me, right? I don't have a bad witness about that. You know, I'm not really feeling conviction about that. So it's okay for me to do. Hey, I hear you. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you have Jesus inside of you, I believe that the Holy Spirit's job is there to convict you. But the longer you have a little bit of yeast operating, and the longer you say, that's not a big deal. You know what? That's not a big deal too. Well, just this one time, you know, I'll do it. And, you know, it's not a big deal. Lord, forgive me. Ha ha ha. Such a good, funny, racist joke. That's not going to affect me. It's not going to change the way I think about that race. Come on. All of a sudden, you're one step further and one step further and one step further. And now it's affected every area of your life. Just because your conscience is clear does not make you innocent. Some of you might say, well, that doesn't bother me. You know, having music or movies or whatever with bad language, it doesn't affect me, Pastor Donnie. You know, it doesn't, you know, I don't curse, so it doesn't really affect me, you know, whatever. But what do you think whenever a driver cuts you off? Do you think, oh, bless that guy? Or do you think, bleepity, bleepity, bleep, mother, bleep? Why are you thinking like that, right? Because the Bible says that if you're in Christ, that you are a new creation and he's given you a new mind. But so why would I be thinking like that? Well, maybe it's because the movies that you've been watching have been filling your head with those kind of responses to those kind of things. When people do you wrong, you think, and maybe you don't say it out of your mouth, but the longer it's in your heart, the longer you're thinking on it, what does the Bible say? From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you're only one step away from changing the way you speak. My conscience may be clear, but that does not make me innocent. So if I can have the band begin to come up, we're going to begin closing with this. Maybe for you, maybe it doesn't, you know, maybe sexually suggestive scenes don't bother you. Maybe you would say, yeah, Pastor Donnie, you know, I can see girls running up and down the beach and, you know, two pieces and, you know, it doesn't really bother me. I can watch movies like that and I could even choose to go to a movie that I knew was going to be focused around that, but it doesn't really affect me. You know, it doesn't make me start, you know, looking at pornography and all that kind of stuff. And so I'd say, hey, man, praise God for that. I applaud you for that. But if you're still looking at something, ladies, the same goes for you. The statistics aren't too far off between men and women that struggle with pornography or struggle with any kind of sexual addiction in that way. If you're okay to watch a movie or a TV show or scroll through Facebook at certain links or Twitter on certain handles or look up certain hashtags, if you're okay to do that, I would just ask you a question. Would you be okay if somebody had a secret camera in your mother's shower? Your sister's shower, your daughter's shower, your wife's shower, your girlfriend's shower. Would you be okay with that? I would have to guess that your answer would be no. Why? Because you would say that's not their wife. They shouldn't be seeing her like that. Why isn't he different for you? Why isn't he different for you to be watching movies or TV shows that objectify women that way? It's not your wife. In Christianity, you have three different classifications for men and women. You have mothers, you have sisters, and you have daughters. So if you're single in here tonight, every single guy and every single girl in here is either your sister or your brother, a mother or a father, or a son or a daughter. So if you are not married, you have no right to look at a guy or look at a girl in any kind of sexually suggestive, obscene way. And it's not because God wants to keep us from having fun. It's not because God wants to keep us from the needs or the wants or the desires that we have. Not at all. It's not about legalism. It's not about how far can I get without stepping over the line. It's about how close can I stay to Jesus, because he's my Savior, because living life for him and with him and on purpose to be him, that'll cause us to stay as close as we can to him. That'll keep us from being productive in the purpose that God has put in our lives. That'll keep us on track for what he's called us to be and what he's called us to do. And for those of you watching online, God created you with a specific purpose, with a specific destiny. And the closer you stay to him, the more influence, the more impact, the more change you'll see in those around you. God's calling us to live different. He's calling us to live and look and sound and act and speak different than the world. If somebody's going to say, you know what, I'm going to leave my old life behind and step into a new life, they have to see that your life looks different than their life. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and verse 22. This will help you on is this good or is it not? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. This may be the best verse that you can always keep at the top of your head. And guess what? It's only 11 or 12 words. You can memorize this. It says, test everything and hold on to the good and avoid every kind of evil. Test everything, hold on to the good and avoid every kind of evil. So tonight as we're closing, I want you to be honest with yourself. Be real with yourself. And I want to ask you a couple questions. Am I entertained by sin? Is sin entertaining to me? Just because it's funny. Is it entertaining? Because it's sexual. Is it entertaining? Is it funny? And do I like to make it okay because it's racist and it's funny, but it's not really right, but it's funny. Just because something's funny does not make it okay. It does not make it any less wrong because it's funny. The next thing you can ask yourself, is this pleasing to God? Is this pleasing to God? And the last one, this may be the most important one. Does this lure me away from Christ? Does it lure me away from Christ? Does it cause me to think less like Him and more like the world? Does it cause me to look less like Him and more like the world? Does it cause me to speak and sound less like Him and more like the world? And I don't know about you, but I don't care what Kim Kardashian says or does. I care what Jesus says and does. I love Kim Kardashian. I hope Jesus gets a hold of her. And maybe He already has. I don't know. This isn't a judgment at all. I'm just saying I'm not trying to look like, sound like, be like, have my Twitter feed copy any person. I want it to look like Jesus. And if Jesus had an Instagram, what would He be doing? How would He be posting? How would He be utilizing that for the kingdom? You know, back to the thing that we started with about it looks like it might be right. It's just a little bit. You know, these TV cameras that we have around, you know, there's a thing called white balance. And if the cameras were to set themselves and say that Pastor Donnie's face is white, it would adjust all of the colors to make my face white and all the other colors would be completely jacked. They would look completely off, too dark, too bright in certain areas, too red, too brown, too red, too green, all these different things. Why? Because it's normal is set on something that's not pure white. And the way that we think and the way that we act, it's the same thing in life. Unless we base how we think and how we act and what we believe is ultimately right based on Jesus, who's pure, who's righteous, who's holy in all of His ways, unless we place our value as being what's right and wrong on Him, we're always going to end up off. I believe that as we do that, we won't allow the enemy to groom us and get us a step further and a step further, and all of a sudden we're wrapped up in something that we didn't ever intend to do. All because of a little thing that's not that big of a deal, because it doesn't really bother me, doesn't really mess with me, doesn't really affect me. So I want everybody to stand with me tonight.